saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Saving money on your next project when you shop at Menards. We have everything you need for keeping your outdoor power equipment in tip-top shape. Ensure your lawnmower or boat is running smooth this year. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale. View our entire selection of FVP batteries today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
David Anthony Burke, known as David, is in a Los Angeles jail as of right now, as of this recording, being held without bail, and the clock is running. The DA's Major Crimes Division has a narrow window to either file formal charges or let him walk. A grand jury heard months of testimony, did not indict. The defense is already telegraphing its strategy. What comes next could define this case or could completely blow all of it apart. David's defense says he was, and this is interesting, the terminology I think is key, he was not the cause of Celeste's death. Not that he wasn't involved, not that he didn't know her. They denied causing her death specifically. I'm going to start there. What is that statement designed to do? Not necessarily recognizing anything about what happened after, but just so much so that not the cause of the death. Is that strategic in the way that they're putting that out there?
It is very interesting.
Yeah. There she is. Sorry. I want to make sure you're still there, Jen.
Yeah, I'm going audio for a moment.
Okay.
You sound good.
You know, so yes, I think that could be strategic. Look, it's interesting. What are they exactly going to charge? He's being held under suspicion of murder, but that tells me that they're going to charge him with murder. I don't know what they have, but I think it is interesting that it's ambiguous right now. But I think when you see the complaint, it's actually going to be murder. And then, of course, the other desecration of a body and hiding a body and all of that.
Yeah, I would have thought, you know, at the very least, they'll be able to get him on that because it's his car knowledge. I think they'll have an easier time proving his knowledge of it rather than potentially murder. So I think, does it sound like they're probably keeping all their options open on it, Jen?
Yeah, I think so. They don't want to get anything out there that isn't going to be dialed down on what they're going to actually charge with. Again, they can always charge the easier charges.
Yeah.
And then what we call supersede with additional charges. And we might see that here since they did this so quickly.
That's what I'm wondering about. Are they going in strong with this, with a murder charge, and then thinking, well, it might get lowered down here as time progresses and we're able to work through all of the details. You know, is that the strategy? Get him on something really strong initially so they can detain him and keep him versus if they went at with him with a lesser charge or there might be a stronger possibility of getting a bail or bonding out of some sort and then the possibility or the risk of flight?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Look, they did the same thing. I don't know if you remember this with Brian Laundrie, even though they didn't have him in their grasp. Yeah. You know, the credit card fraud. We love to do that, right? You get them on something that can stick, and then you supersede with the bigger stuff. I still think this will be ultimately indicted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what are you thinking about the probability of then, again, just saying he gets indicted, that it's going to be pled out? And also, I'm going to do the worst thing is ask two questions at the same time. I'm so curious about when we might see some other potential charges or indictments about towards other people involved.
I think we lost
her.
I floored her with my question.
Yep. There we go.
So, Tony, what do you think about that?
Give me the question one more time. Rephrase it again for me.
So the second part of that is, how long do you think it's going to be, really, before they start charging some other people? So I really want to focus on that, too, because I think there's other people involved. Because when you look at the stats, you look at the averages, you look at how these types of crimes are committed with people that are underage, they don't really have a life arc of committing these things, it's going to be involved. Oh, there she is. She back?
I think she's back. Yeah, I wonder. I do wonder about how long it's going to be, but if other people are going to be charged, how long it's going to take, or how many people are they getting to flip? Are they getting to become state's witnesses, like possibly Neo Langston, who was initially arrested, you know, taken from Montana down to California? He's been released now, and he's made his own statements. I'm wondering how many of those they're going for, not necessarily to arrest and put other people behind bars, but to go to what they believe is the source of this, the real reason that they may believe she is no longer around. But I wonder how much of that is a guessing game as to why she is no longer around. How much of that piece of this puzzle we just don't know the answer to, and investigators don't know the answer to, other than these are the pieces that were on the board at the time, so we better, you know, gather these ones up and figure out what's happening before we move any further. Jen, what are you thinking? How long until others may be arrested, if at all?
Well, I think the biggest thing that we're not really talking about is the digital environment that he worked in. He actually said he doesn't have any friends. His whole life is on screen. That's how he made friends. That's how he cultivated his music. That's how he got millions of followers. He talks all about that. I'm wondering what's happening behind the scenes with the digital forensics and what they're determining with that. I think that's going to help figure out who else may be complicit in this and what actually happened. You know, what they planned and what they did. I know that we talked about this before, Tony, about could this just be literally a situation where it was an accident? It was just a drug-fueled night and something happened badly. I don't think it's that. I think it was something more sinister.
Do you really? Like what? Because again, I'm on the, you know me, I always go the least route of least resistance when it comes to those things. I was thinking it was an accidental type of thing. When you just look at the type of background, but at the same time though, open to all possibilities, what makes you think it was more sinister?
I think it was more sinister when you look at and I know we have to be careful here because art doesn't always imitate life, but it often does. Yeah. And I think you just have to look at some of the sinisterness of the art he created and then combine that with what we understand was in his place after the police left that LAPD didn't collect, like the burn machine, and horribly sinister. The situation her body was in. Now, we all know that most people mutilate bodies because they need to hide them, not because they're enjoying it.
Right.
But we don't know here. I mean, it could be that he was. And there is a certain culture that exists in certain, you know, let's see, how do I want to say this? There's a certain culture that exists within certain folks that subscribe to some really dark stuff. And we just don't know if that could be at play here. But judging by some of the stuff that was found in the apartment, that's what concerns me.
I agree with you definitely on the digital side. I think we're going to learn a lot from that because whether it's sinister, I don't think it was a lot of premeditation necessarily, or at least really good experience with premeditation. So I think there's going to be a lot of leakage across all their platforms on the, whether it's from David himself or his entourage, I think there's going to be a lot on that digital.
Suspicion of murder is what he's been arrested on. We don't have official charges as of this recording. Do you think we're going to see additional charges brought on here? Anything involving the age difference between the two of them? We don't know that there was any sort of S relationship going on. I don't know if that can be shown or proven or anything of that nature. But I wonder if are we going to see anything like that tacked on here come Monday when the the 48 hours runs up and charges either get brought or he gets released?
Well, I think that unless they have digital proof that they were involved in an intimate way, I don't think we're going to see any charges along those lines.
No.
They're going to have to prove that with photos, videos. It can't just be what people saw. They saw them kissing. I mean, obviously, it seems pretty likely with the sh tattoo on their fingers matching each other and the intimacy that we saw in videos that they were involved. But unless there's, you know, the intimate is recorded, I don't think we're going to see those charges.
I agree. I mean, we're seeing the hard time they have with FLDS and IBLP and all these cults, the hard time they had to prove the underage that was going on just because no one would come forward. And if you don't have a victim coming forward saying exactly what happened and sometimes even greater proof than that, it's going to be a hard thing to press. So unless they have some sort of digital footprint, and who knows, maybe she texted friends, maybe she texted her mother about what was going on, but doubtful.
I want to throw this out there because I don't think there really has been much attention onto it, and I'm not trying to be a heartless ass, but I want to look at the family of Celeste Rivas Hernandez. I know, you know, they lost a daughter. That's obviously horrible, but I'm wondering, why was she running away all the time? What's going on at home? Because I don't think we've had this conversation. I don't think anybody's really gone down this road very much. And I'm not accusing them of anything. I don't know what was going on. But usually, if you have a child that's running away constantly and they're being reported missing here and there or optionally, because it seems sometimes she was reported, sometimes she was not. The girl was like a seventh grader. I have a seventh grader. I'm trying to like picture this in my mind as a parent just being so kind of aloof or I don't know what the word is for what the hell was going on here in terms of parenting and parental authority or control or ability over her. That to me, there's other kids in that house that still exist. She had siblings. Why is nobody looking over there? And I'm not in any way insinuating that they had anything to do with her death, but I am questioning, why was she running away so often? And yes, that does happen. Sometimes you get kids, they're going to do that. But I don't know. That just seems to be a rather large red flag that because they are, as well, victims here, they lost their daughter, that this seems to be being glossed over a little bit. Am I crazy for thinking this?
Well, a couple of thoughts. They were first generation LSALs.
Sure.
And I can tell you, you know, that is, when they came here, first of all, you have parents that are likely both working constantly. Mm-hmm. I don't know that for sure. I'm just saying in my experience with them, if you look at Mara Salvatrucha, which is the MS-13, the reason they had to start was because they were being so horribly victimized by the Mexican gangs that already existed. So you're now in a poor area and you're amongst other people who they have no parental supervision.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard that recording. It's really eerie. It's Celeste screaming at a neighbor.
Yeah.
And Celeste, and she sounds like she's 25, not like she's, you know, she was 14 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just see, I mean, how she uses language and, you know, profanity and how she talks, the lack of sort of respect, all of that. And again, I'm not victim shaming. I'm strictly saying facts about an environment where kids grow up really fast.
Sure. Yeah. Boundaries, 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 whether it's by design or by default, you know, a lack of boundaries by whatever reason is what keeps coming up in all these cases. And when you don't have boundaries, and again, parents struggling coming from a foreign country and trying to make ends meet, sure. But at the same time, though, no boundaries means that there's chaos afoot and bad things happen.
I mean, struggling and all that, I understand. But you got to be a parent, too. I don't care where you've come from or what you do. Like, you got kids. And if there's still other kids here, and this is a red flag that a child is continuously running away from a specific home and finding it better, finding life to be better with a stranger celebrity that's almost twice her age. It's rather bizarre, and I would think would demand some sort of investigation. But again, I mean, if unfortunately, we look at so many cases like this and go, well, you know, the culture in that specific group right here, right now, it is kind of chaotic. It's kind of this is great. Can we fix it? Can we, you know, can we help these community or this family or people? So we don't have children growing up in an atmosphere like this where it's conducive for her to feel like this was the best option for her and end up dead.
Well, you're not going to get much from, I would think, and I'm curious what Jen thinks about it, you're not going to get much from the parents on the investigation anyway, because it's not illegal not to have boundaries.
True.
It's interesting. And how would that compare to like the parents being accountable for the school shooter? But she's not the perpetrator. Yeah. She's the victim. So, I mean, you can't. Anyway,
my concern would be for the remaining living children in that home and what kind of environment inspired her to run away. What are they growing up in? And maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's fine. Maybe there's absolutely nothing. Maybe it's great. But if you have a kid running away like this, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to guess maybe not the best environment. Just call me crazy. I don't know. But it feels like something that is, you know, a lost piece of this story. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We would love for you to weigh in.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.